Do not starve yourself. You don't have to have huge meals, but just like eat breakfast or have a snack. And if you even hear the narrative of I'm going to be eating a lot later, so I'm not going to eat now, that's where we want to create the disassociation. That's where you want to say, oh, that's silly. That actually doesn't work. And so if I'm hungry, I'll eat. And if I'm not, I won't. And even creating that awareness and that narrative around giving yourself the allowance to follow a hunger cue if you are hungry is actually going to take a lot of the pressure off.
Welcome to the Head to Heal podcast, where you'll go head over heels learning about how the body and the brain work together to either feed disease or fight it. I'm your host, Jordana Sade, certified holistic nutritionist and founder of the Mindful Clinic. With a background in nutrition, behavioral neuropsychology, and hypnosis, I'm going to walk you through the root cause of your symptoms and disordered behaviors. The body has an innate ability to heal. No one is destined for illness, and most, if not all, disorders can be reversed. Come with me as we develop a new understanding of how you can use your head to heal and truly thrive.
Hey guys, it's Jordana, and today we are talking about, in a very timely fashion, how to stay mindful during the holidays. So essentially, I really want to share with you guys how to navigate this holiday season without experiencing things like food guilt, without feeling like shit after overindulging, without subscribing to the like New Year's resolution of like, this is the year I'm going to get my shit together. Joining a gym, starting a restrictive diet only to, I believe it's like 21 days or 18 days after the New Year's resolution, most people drop off, you know? And so I don't want that to happen to you guys this year. And that really starts with how we approach this holiday season. So there's so many things that are fairly triggering throughout the holidays. Like, of course, we are, if you don't live at home, we're coming back to be around family. More often than not, most of our wounds really start with the family, right? Like pretty much everything we can blame on the parents. And so when we go back into those situations, even if you've done all of the work in the world, like I've done so much work into my own evolution. I specialize in psychology, and it doesn't really matter how much work I do. If I spend more than 20 minutes with my mother, I still turn into that 13-year-old girl and throw an adult tantrum. And every single time I'm like, why the fuck do I do this? And so first of all, I just want to create the recognition and validate back to you guys that it's very normal to be triggered by your family. And it's very normal to, when you're back in a situation immersed with the people who raised you, it's normal for the brain to return back to old programming. And actually, in behavioral psychology, we call this state-dependent memory. So we can be motivated to engage in specific behaviors or specific thought patterns based on the state that we're in. And this can be a physical state, or this can be an emotional state. And state-dependent memory is actually less about certain types of psychology and more about the way that memory functions. And so we have all these different types of memory. And when we are engaging with something right in real time, we're often pulling from, you know, stored memory, long-term memory, short-term memory. And then there's this kind of like in the cloud memory where things aren't fully categorized or stored yet. But state-dependent memory really is that when we are in a specific state, we begin to behave in ways or think in ways that are consistent with that state that we behaved in the past. And because from ages 0 to 7, where your subconscious programming is really being wired out, has everything to do with your parental environment or the environment around you, whether that's like parents or guardians, adoptive parents, whatever it is, siblings. When we go back into that state, I mean, it's not crazy that the brain would start to pull back from old mechanisms. So first off, if you see yourself falling back into old behaviors or thought patterns, like don't get frustrated with yourself. Your brain is literally doing its job. The brain loves to be very, very efficient. And so it wants to work as little as possible. So once it builds out a program, it remembers how to go back to that program. I'm going to give you a really good example. And I know I've said this one before, but every time I walk into my parents' house, whether I'm hungry or not, I walk right in and open the fridge. And I caught myself doing this a couple of months ago, and I'm like, what am I doing? I just ate. I'm not hungry. Why am I here staring at the fridge? And that's because at my parents' house, a really important coping mechanism that I developed was eating. It was my safety. It was my self-soothing mechanism. And so just being in that specific state, the brain is going to recall ways to behave with like and bypass the conscious mind. Like that wasn't a cognitive thought that I had. It just went and did it. And so going into the holidays, creating the recognition and the awareness around the fact that there might be some thought patterns or behaviors that return because you're in that familial environment, and being okay with that, like meeting yourself with compassion rather than judgment, especially because, and we're going to talk about this a little on, like I have like really important steps for you guys to follow that I use every single year and they work beautifully. But if we can approach this, and rather than fusing or identifying with what we're thinking and feeling and what we're doing, if we can almost observe ourselves from a third party perspective, as if we're kind of a fly on the wall, and observe our behavior and become curious about it and almost like meet yourself with humor, like don't take yourself too seriously is what I'm saying, then I think that we can all get through this holiday season in a much more effective way. So in my practice, especially because I'm dealing with overeating behaviors, I can't tell you how many times clients will be like, well, you know, I want to start, but, you know, it's the holidays coming up, or it's my birthday, and then, you know, it's summer barbecues, or it's Easter, and there's always going to be something. Like, the holidays are always going to come. Even if you're going on holiday, we just came back from Mexico, so even if you're going on a holiday, like that is inevitable. We want to be able to enjoy our life, and I'm not going on a holiday at an all-inclusive resort and not eating dairy. I think I had dairy for every single meal, and I still came back and lost weight. And you can't do that if the brain isn't wired for that, right? And so how we can actually overcome this holiday season and come out the other side even stronger is by understanding how to set your mind, or how to create the mindset around, no matter what, my success is inevitable. And also, that really can't happen if we don't observe ourselves from that third party perspective, as if we're a fly on the wall. Because let's say you do overindulge, if you create the narrative around like, shouldn't be doing this, and oh my gosh, here I go again, or it's okay because in January 1st, I'm starting this new diet, then what you're going to notice is you're going to overindulge, and you're going to literally identify and fuse with that behavior, and you're going to just continue the same cycle over and over again. And I'm going to hear from you in March when your diet has inevitably falled off, or you stopped going to the 6 a.m. boot camp. And then you'll be like, now I really have to do the work. Okay. But we can avoid all that. So going into this holiday season, there are very specific steps, and not just steps, but things that we can think about and things that we can integrate that will allow you to move through this holiday season without food guilt, and also approach it mindfully. Okay. So the first thing is, do not starve yourself before big meals. One habit that I used to have, and I know a lot of my clients have, is if you're going for a big dinner, or, you know, it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever, you won't eat all that whole day because you're going to have so much food in the evening. Now, if you're genuinely not hungry, don't eat. But if you are hungry and you say to yourself, oh, but I'm going to eat later, so I may as well just like not eat now, or I'll have a glass of water instead, what you've now taught your brain is that it's not, you don't listen to the cues it's sending you. So your brain's like, hey, I'm sending you a cue that's a hunger cue. And when you don't respond to that and you say, no, we're going to eat later, we'll just have a glass of water now, you actually create a disconnection between your nervous system and your stomach. And if you don't listen to the I'm hungry cue, you're not going to be able to hear the I'm full cue either. So what I start to see in my practice, and I know from my own experience, is when I would kind of starve myself all day long, as soon as I would have access to that food, or I would go to that event, I'm over consuming. You're going to eat so much more than you would have if you just had a light meal or snack beforehand, because you will have starved yourself that whole day. So the brain's going to go into starvation mode. And then as soon as it has access to food, because food is a basic need, you're not going to be able to have impulse control. Like, prefrontal cortex is going to shut right off, and the primitive part of the brain, the animal brain, is going to take over, and it's just going to consume way more than you need to. So my first tip is, do not starve yourself. You don't have to have huge meals, but just like eat breakfast or have a snack. And if you even hear the narrative of, I'm going to be eating a lot later, so I'm not going to eat now, that's where we want to create the disassociation. That's where you want to say, oh, that's silly. That actually doesn't work. And so if I'm hungry, I'll eat. And if I'm not, I won't. And even creating that awareness and that narrative around giving yourself the allowance to follow a hunger cue if you are hungry is actually going to take a lot of the pressure off. Because rather than your brain trying to control your stomach or the mind thinking, I know better, and oh, we're on a diet or we don't want to gain weight or we don't want to be bloated in our beautiful Christmas dress, it gives the body permission to speak to us. And when we have that connection between mind and body, being overweight is actually very hard. Like it is very difficult. I didn't try, but on vacation, you know, I ate way more than I would have at home. I ate all the things I don't eat. I drank every day. And, you know, I still came back and lost weight. But that's only possible because I have that very strong like mind-body connection. And so throughout this holiday season, if you want to create that, if you want to be able to overconsume and not in a way that makes you feel guilty, but like eat these very delicious, indulgent meals because you don't normally do that in your routine and come out the other side where you either break even or lose weight, we have to establish that mind-body connection first. Okay. So step number one, do not starve yourself or you will overconsume and you'll feel like shit about it. Step number two, and this may be super, super simple, but drink so much water. And not just to like starve off the day, you know, but drink water, especially if you're drinking at night. Because if we can do kind of a one-to-one ratio where for every alcoholic beverage you have a glass of water, not only are you going to avoid a hangover, but that water is going to help to satiate. So when we have just food alone and we don't consume water, like our stomach doesn't actually grow or create the chemicals and the neurotransmitters as quickly as it would as if you were fully hydrated. And so I find that, you know, especially during this holiday season when I'm super out of my routine and I don't have my like big Stanley water bottle with me, I often will forget about water. And if I'll be eating, enjoying myself. And when I remember to have a glass of water, I'm like, holy shit, now I'm really full. But imagine we didn't have to wait until you were overly full and you could just like hydrate yourself throughout the day, then you wouldn't get to that point. You would feel those fullness cues much quicker. Hi, babes. I am so excited to talk to you about my signature program, The Mindful Method. This is the exact same method that I have been using with hundreds of successful clients to help you heal your relationship to food, to increase confidence, and to lose weight without dieting or killing yourself at the gym. If you're sick of not feeling like your best self, if you're sick of promising yourself that you'll start again on Monday, if you're sick of going on restrictive diets only to gain back the weight, I can tell you right now that if you gained it back, it did not work. You know what's healthy and what's not. You do. You just continue to choose the unhealthy option anyways. And a meal plan will not solve this issue. There is no amount of restriction or discipline or willpower that is going to stop you from self-sabotaging. The body follows the mind. Imagine a life where you don't have to think about what you can or can't eat. Imagine a life where you feel confident in all of your clothes, where every day and every way your body rebalances and you lose all of the weight so you find the truest, healthiest version of yourself. Imagine never having to start again on Monday. This is what happens when you focus on transforming the brain so weight loss is effortless. The body follows the mind, and it's time you actually get to the root cause of your issue. If you are ready to transform and find the truest, healthiest version of you without letting go of your favorite foods, I invite you to fill out the application in my bio. And if you're a good fit, we'll be in touch soon. Back to regular programming. The other thing that's important with drinking water is that more often than not, of course, we remember the overeating behaviors that create a lot of food guilt, but more than just the remembrance of like what you did, the physical feeling of being so overly full is probably more triggering than remembering the food itself. Especially when I have clients that have histories of eating disorders, feeling that physical fullness is a direct cue to the brain that like I'm bad or I've done something wrong or like what have I done? Here I go again. That really toxic narrative that keeps us stuck inside of a disordered eating. And when we can drink water throughout the day, we are going to help the body to digest much quicker. So you're not going to feel that like really heavy feeling of like crappiness. You're going to be able to digest your food and you're going to have enough water and hydration to actually put the molecules where it needs to go and help your digestive system function appropriately. So water is my second step or my second recommendation. And I know it's a simple one, but it gets very overlooked when we are out of our routine. The third thing, and this is my cling to fame with holiday seasons or just, you know, nights out in general. A lot of times I hear clients say they're fine at home, but as soon as they're in a social situation where there's all of these hors d'oeuvres and just like constant food, it becomes very difficult for them to listen to hunger cues and not overeat. And there's a couple of things happening here. So first of all, there is something called social anxiety. And even if you don't think you have it, especially when we are back in the same realm as our family, where a lot of our tendencies kind of built out or, you know, our shadow self and our inner wounds began, the social anxiety might not always feel like anxiety. It might just feel like, oh, I wonder what my mom thinks about my dress, or she said that comment about my hair, so my hair must not look nice. You can tell a lot of mine is around my mother. But yeah, so when we are in these social situations, the social anxiety or the anxiety around being around people, am I saying the right thing? Are they thinking about what I look like? You know, is this conversation going well? Even if it's with family, can actually lead to more overconsumption of food because the food becomes a distraction, almost an escape function, if you're a behavioral psychology nerd, but you're using the food to kind of like escape the uncomfortableness of being in that social situation and having eyes on you. And so it's a self-soothing mechanism. It's also physically taking your brain out of that anxious state because food is literally going to turn off the fight or flight temporarily. And then we can't ignore the fact that like there's so much delicious food going around. Like there's so many options, you know, on a regular meal for dinner, I don't have 27 hors d'oeuvres. I have a salad and a carbohydrate and a protein. And then sometimes I'll have half a cookie after my meal. It really just depends on how I feel. But there is just an abundance of food. And especially if you're somebody who keeps junk out of the house, like I know with my clients that say, oh, it's better, I just don't have it in my cupboards. It's a huge red flag for me. Because if we don't actually teach the brain how to be moderate with those foods, when we have access to them, the brain will overconsume because it gets excited. And it's like, oh my gosh, I never have this. And I actually noticed that when we went to Mexico, when I went to the buffet, the first day at the buffet, my brain was in heaven. There was so much stimulation. I way overate. But you know, as the time went on day 7, the buffet got less and less exciting and I was able to pick and choose really what I wanted to eat. And so I'm telling you this because there is no way that you're having these festive meals every day. And if you are, that's a whole different problem. So your brain is going to get excited about trying all the new flavors and, you know, being stimulated in a different way and having all of this abundance of deliciousness around you. And again, like it's your brain's job to do that. That's not a bad thing. So don't villainize it. The more you judge it, the worse it's going to get. This is very natural for the brain to do this. And so the way that we can kind of overcome this is, and my claim to fame, my biggest recommendation, if I were to say one of them is the most important, it's this one. Step 3 is try everything. Allow your taste buds to experience. Allow your taste buds to have moments of satiation, because satiation isn't just going to come from the physical feeling of fullness, especially in the nervous system. The nervous system feels satiated when it has had a very abundant experience, right? So your nervous system wants to experience the candy cane. It wants to experience the hot chocolate. It wants to experience the cheesy potatoes and the turkey stuffing and the cranberry sauce or whatever it is you guys eat. How we actually satiate the brain is by fulfilling it with a variety of different experiences. And that means different tastes. And so in behavioral psychology, we call this sensory function. When people are very motivated by sensory, you find that when they want to experience hunger, they want something very specific. It's like, I want something salty. I want something sweet. I want something crunchy. That's very sensory behavior. And when you're surrounded by all of these different sensations, allow your brain to experience everything. I can't tell you how many times I've been on in the past crazy diets around the holidays and genuinely feared going to Christmas dinner. because I would be on a candida diet for the millionth time ever. And I wouldn't even be allowed to eat the carrots, you know, like on the vegetable platter. I'd have to like really stick to like the tomatoes if I'm lucky, or the celery, and I could have no dip. And so it just, you know, that is a life I don't want to live. I'm not available for that. I want to experience life. And I believe everybody deserves that. And there's no reason that experiencing a beautiful festive meal needs to come in the way of your fitness and health goals. Like it's those two things aren't mutually exclusive. Like we can have both. You truly can have your cake and eat it too. And, but how we do this is we're not fucking having full portions of everything. You know, like I'm not getting a full piece of pumpkin pie and a full piece of the crepe cake that my sister's mom makes and a full piece of the tiramisu. Like I'm taking a bite of each, right? And so the caveat here is that allow your nervous system to try every single taste that it wants to so it feels fulfilled and satiated. And then this is a really good opportunity to teach your brain how to practice moderation with really delicious tastes. I'm saying this at 11:11, so that's exciting. Means it's important, right? Because what's going to happen is you're going to take a piece of that pumpkin pie, or you're going to take a bite of that chocolate cake, and your brain isn't going to be like, yes, I feel satiated now. You're going to release dopamine, and dopamine is going to be like, and more, and more. Take another bite. Take another bite, another one, another one, another one. And every bite that you have is going to taste good, but it's going to be less satisfying than the first one. But you're going to be more motivated to engage in more of that eating behavior. That's how dopamine works. Every time dopamine is released, satisfaction and pleasure goes down, but craving goes up, right? So this is a really good opportunity for you to actually teach your brain something new, in the sense where, can you just have one bite of that pumpkin pie and sit in the discomfort when your body's like, have another bite? It's like, no, I can just have one bite and put that down, and then I can go and try something else. So this whole step, this whole recommendation is really, actually, I think the most powerful, because not only are you avoiding an upset tummy and a very like guilty evening, you're allowing your brain to try everything, and you're teaching it something new. Like you're actually programming it to learn how to engage with these foods very moderately. So you just don't need a full portion of anything, guys. I mean, if you're eating salad, go for it. Have the whole thing if you want. But in that brownie cake, that last bite is not going to give you anything more than the first bite did. You're not getting any more nutrients. All you're doing is just feeding dopamine. And dopamine will always want you to engage in more of that behavior. And so if we can try having a bite of it and then stopping, I mean, you can have two bites if you like. It doesn't have to be one. But that's actually where the magic's going to come in. Okay? The last thing that I'm going to say, and this is also just like such a game changer, is practice handling food. I had a client, I think it was probably about a year ago, but her whole thing was she was fine when she was at home. And then when she was in social situations, and she has a very, very social life, that all of these behaviors started to come back. And so one of the things that we worked on is, you know, she was at a party and there was these little chocolates, and I had her hold the chocolate the entire night, just hold it in her hand. And you're engaging in conversation and the chocolate's in your hand, because eating is a very subconscious behavior. Like we learn to eat as soon as we come out of our mother's womb, right? The sucking mechanism is our first access to food. And we come knowing how to do that, because if we don't, we die. And so more often than not, it's a very automatic behavior. As soon as we see food, or we have food in our hand, or we're holding a fork, to just put it in our mouth. Like you don't actively have to think, and now I'm putting the fork into my mouth, and now I'm chewing. It, like you're able to engage in conversation. You're able to do a whole bunch of other things while eating at the same time. So eating becomes this automatic habit, automatic behavior. It's very subconscious, right? It's in the programming. And then everything you're doing, the conversation you're having is more conscious, because that's when you have to respond to things and you have to be aware of cues. And so when we have food in our hand, we are so motivated to put it in our mouth without even thinking about it. And I noticed this last night. I was at my mom's house and she had opened up this box of cookies that my dad likes. It's like the assorted box of cookies. Anyways, my daughter had picked one up and then it got all over her hands. She had chocolate everywhere. So I took it out of her hand and put it in my hand. And as I was cleaning her up, rather than putting the cookie down, I was going to put the cookie in my mouth. I'm like, why would I do that? I don't want this cookie. I've just eaten dinner. I don't desire it. Doesn't look very good because now it's all melted everywhere. So it's not like very decadent or anything. But it's because we have this built-in mechanism and that mechanism is related to survival. And so you can't like expect the brain to not do that. If you want to change that mechanism, you have to actively practice that. That's how we program the brain. We can only reprogram through repetition and through intention, especially after the age of 25. So my last tip for you guys is throughout this holiday season, practice handling the food. Hold on to a piece of chocolate and have a conversation with people and don't put it in your mouth and see how that goes. And I'm not telling you this because I don't want you to eat the chocolate. Of course, you can eat the chocolate. But what I am trying to help you guys cultivate is trying to help you hold on to food and break or create a disassociation of the automatic program of putting that food directly into your mouth. And when you can learn this, it gets so much easier. And that's why throughout all of this, you want to be that fly on the wall. Because if it's not perfect, if you have 7 bites of the coconut cream pie instead of 1, the goal here isn't to be like, oh, fuck, Jordana told me only to have 1 bite. So like now I'm a failure and I can't even do this and blah, blah, blah. It's like you want to be that fly on the wall, right? You want to be in the fly on the wall that's like, interesting. Wow. How curious. How funny is it that the primitive brain just took over in that moment? That's so interesting. Okay, I'm going to try again in another situation. And when we can become curious about it and curious about our own behavior, it really takes the pressure off. And that's where we can actually create change. Okay. I hope you guys have the best Christmas ever, especially if you are in my programs like the Mindful Method and Detox Program. I am very available through the Christmas holidays because I know it can be super triggering. So, I should probably say this. This is like bonus step number 5. If you wake up in the morning and you feel shitty about what you ate the night before, I really need you to remember that very similar to when you go on vacation, holidays are very out of your routine. And so what's going to happen is you're going to experience the holiday. You're going to eat all these festive meals. You're going to overindulge. Inevitably, everyone does. You are going to overindulge again. I do all the time. But then you're going to go back to your regular routine and you're not going to have Christmas dinner every day. And so rather than making a big deal out of a really beautiful thing and making it like ugly, just remember that this isn't always your set point. Like your baseline, your routine is not Christmas dinner every day. And so be okay with the fact that like we can shake shit up a bit. We don't always have to have leans and greens every single meal and wake up and do spinning and like that whole cycle is just fucking boring. That's not a life to live. You want to be able to experience life and enjoy the holidays. And I wish and hope that for all of you. So if you guys celebrate Christmas, happy Hanukkah, anything else you guys can celebrate. I love you all so, so, so dearly. I'm so excited for what 2024 has to bring. We've got a lot of really fun stuff coming up. If you liked this episode, don't forget to like and subscribe, and I'll see you back on another episode of the Head to Heel podcast. Bye.